You know where we're opening to?
Ephesians chapter 1. Okay. You ready? Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, we've said, God is not giving you the spirit of wisdom. God just gives you the Holy Spirit. Now, listen very well. Don't misquote me. What Paul is saying is that he's going to give you the wisdom of the Spirit. God gives us one Spirit. Amen. He's not like giving you spirit of wisdom, spirit of prophecy, spirit of tongues. No, no, no. The Spirit has all the gifts. Is it making sense? So he doesn't give you multiple spirits. No, he gives you one Spirit that has all the embodiments. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? So he's not giving you the spirit of wisdom. No. God is going to give you the wisdom of the Spirit. That's why he used the word and, that which is, that is revelation. So what the wisdom of the Spirit is going to bring to you is revelation in the knowledge of Christ. So that means, listen very well. Look at what Paul said. After I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you something. And he calls it the wisdom of the Spirit. Observe, that means, listen very well, when you get saved, that's not the end. You know, what we grew up, maybe some of us do not grow up in the same place or at the same time. But what a lot of people grow up to just do is, just give your life to Christ. And after that, you just wait for rapture. No rapture. Where everybody just run away. Amen. Just run away. You are tired of this earth. So everyone just fly. Which is good. Hallelujah. Tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, we'll look at a lot of things. You just want to run away. Which is good. Everything is just to be keeping yourself holy. If Jesus come now in the next 5 minutes, will you go? So, we got that knowledge of, that's how I'm meant to just live my Christian life. No, Paul says, no. There are things to know. Says, there are things to know. Come on. I can hear that. There are things to know. He says, after you are ahead of your faith, I know that the next thing is you ought to know something. You ought to know something. Knowledge is paramount. It's paramount in the faith. Church is not just so you go and you dance away your sorrow. That's if you can dance it away. After you are done dancing, you buy fuel at the price. Amen. After you are done dancing, school fees will not change. House rent will not change. It's how I'm dancing with my soul. Which is not. Church is not where we just go to show our fine clothes. I see some of you in very nice ones. Amen. That's all good. The essence of church is not that. The essence of the church of Jesus Christ is so that people can know God. It's not so that we can come together and do Ankara Sunday. Or Jin Sunday. Or Asun Sunday. I saw someone Asun Sunday. That's not the point of church. Even though I would like Asun Sunday, huh? That'd be nice. Hey, glorious answer, you guys don't do all these kind of things. I'll leave you people. Yeah? Asun. Very nice thing. I don't like the Jin one, but Asun is good. It's okay. Amen. You can even use for communion. If you are vexing for me, don't vex for me. That means you're a first timer. That's not the church. The church primarily is a place where God's word is taught. Is a place where God's word is taught. And one of the things the devil wants to do with this generation, and he has been doing past generation, is to exchange that for entertainment. And so, a lot of people, what they go to church to get is entertainment. Entertainment. Sheer excitement. You know, I've seen people, you just shout glory, which is okay. We just did that, right? Shout for joy, shout, glory, this, that's nice. That's all cool. But, you know, Jesus mentioned that there are some, when they hear the word, he said they receive it with excitement. They receive it with excitement. He said, they receive it with so much joy, they are so glad that you've taught them the word. He said, but when the test comes, when the sun is up, it scorches the world because there's no depth. Do not substitute edification for entertainment. Are you listening to me? Never. Never get to a point in your Christian walk where all you want is go Jesus go. Let's just dance. Let's just dance and sing and do drama and do choreography and do Children's Day. You know, Children's Day, Women's Day, Youth Day, Men's Day. Which other day? Teenager's Day. I mentioned 5. Which other day again? Anniversary. Harvest. You know. Say, I go for the word. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Say, I go for the word. Say, I want the word. Alright, so Paul says, when I heard, I know that you have to know something. I know you have to know something. What is it? He says, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of God's calling. I remember we taught that in the camp meeting some years ago, right? Huh? What is the riches of His glory of His inheritance in the saints? We taught that too. What is the exceeding greatness of His power? We taught that too, right? I said, when? When you are not there. So, he says, all of these things, you need to know it. He said, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead. That's verse 20 now. And set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and mind and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. This year, I want to look at God's right hand. Amen. Amen. He said, when He raised Him from the dead and He set Him at His own right hand. Hope you are not displaying by with us. Huh? Please don't. We don't have Muslims here. Amen. We have people who brought their Bibles. Right, guys? They don't need the Bible verse. That's one of the nonsense I don't party to. You are not under persecution. If you carry Bible, nobody points guns to you on the street and say, stop there! I mean, so why are you not proud to carry your Bible? So we use app. So this app, you know, this is the Bible evolves in generations. Someone was using down to tell me that Jesus did not use mic. That why am I now using mic? If I don't like app Bible, say, calm down. Like I told you the joke that time. One church, they were advocating for app Bible. The pastor told them that the Bible is paper, read it. And there's just something that comes with that dedication of carrying the book itself. It's not like the book has power, amen? Bring yours. You know, I can just, you know, some people think it's when they point it to the devil. Thunder will not, lightning will come out from it. So now strike the demon. It's a lie. Demon will collect from you and say, which verse should I read? Which version? Which version will they lay? The last one that someone used for me is not... It's a book. You don't even know who printed it. Bless God for our Igbo brothers. Amen. At God's own right hand. So he said, He set Him at His right hand. He set Him at His right hand. Alright, let's read on. He said, it's far above all principality. And power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He has put all things under His feet and He gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. The church is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And you, are they hear me? As He quickened, when you were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. Can we read verse 3 to verse 6 together? Among whom we also had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love where He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together. And made us sit together in every place in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen. So look at Ephesians 2:6. It says, God made us sit together with Christ. Meaning that He is not alone on the right hand. The one who has believed the gospel. The one who has accepted the life of Jesus. He said He is right there with Him. He said He has quickened us too. And He has made us sit together. I think we looked at that last camp meeting. Last year, yes. Where we look at Kati Temi. Eh? To sit, to be in union. Right?
Right? To be in company of. He has made us sit together with Christ. So wait. Now, come, look at me. Now, this is the image a lot of people have. If you ask, where is Jesus? So you see a big room. Bigger than this place. Maybe not bigger than this place. Depends on which drama you watched. Then a big throne, like they are doing engagement, tried. Then there's someone sitting on the throne. He's wearing white. Hallelujah. Somebody says, yeah, what are you not trying to say? What are you trying to say? Calm down now. Part of your Christian faith will be that you have to relearn some things. Amen. You have to unlearn some things too. You must learn to know that if you are going to grow, then you don't know everything now. The day you know everything, you are not going to grow again. That's one of the things I told myself when I was much younger. I'm young now, so I was much younger. I'm like 14 now. I'll be 15 next week. Amen. I told myself, I said, if anyone presents the word of God to me, in his facts and details and chatters, I'm going to accept it. I don't want to hear your experience. You know, that's preaching some people like, as you open your vision, like, it's only one. Tell us, give us spirit, not letter. Mm-mm. It's not the spirit I'll give you. I'll give you wine or gin. So the image is God is sitting on one throne. So there's a God. Even though you say God is spirit, but now you are seeing him. He's on the throne. Good. I'm not again. You are the one that said God is spirit. Jesus said God is spirit. Those who worship him, worship him spirit and truth. But suddenly your own God now is wearing white. Who sold it? Brezike. Then, 24 elders. Those ones, they don't have job. I know what I'm saying. That's what they always sit down to worship him. Fine. To worship God is a good job. Okay, good. Let them be there. Maybe some of you join them to make 25. Elders. And then there is Jesus. Every time God is just angry. Just angry from his height. But the fruit of the spirit is love. And the work of the flesh is anger. But God is angry. We can exempt him. It's okay. No, I'm just saying it's okay, right? So God is just angry. One day he just saw people in a Port Harcourt. He said, what's this? What's going on here? I will destroy these people. Then Jesus just said, So he just showed his hand. See my hand. I died. So I have forgot. It's been long. It's been long. 2,000 years now. I won't know. you are using this thing too much. This is your death. So that's what we have. And it must be at the right hand. In the same way, the image of you have of paradise, which you are going to be at that very much tomorrow afternoon. Paradise is where donkeys sit and lion together. If you ever find where the donkey and lion is sitting, the lion just ate his sister. That's paradise because you read that yellow book. It's okay. But we need to find out what is the right hand of God. He said, he made him sit at his own right hand in heavenly places. So he calls it heaven. Heaven. So if we are seated with him, wait, how many of you agree that we have seen in the scriptures that and we too are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Let me see. You've seen it. Ephesians 2:6. Okay, let's read Ephesians 2:4-6 together again. Oh yeah. But God, who is rich in mercy, where we love, great love where he loved us, when we're dead in trespasses, has quickened us together with Christ and raised us together, Woo! But, yeah, it is all on air. Sitting on a chair. The question is, how am I now seated with Christ in heavenly places? Yeah. And we must not avoid questions. We must not avoid questions. I remember some years ago, I met a small girl was asking the mother. He said, Mom, they told us today that the serpent deceived Eve. Mother said, yes! That's why you must be careful of the serpent. Then the little girl said, but Mom, serpents can't talk. They is. I said, just believe the Bible. Hallelujah. You can't just believe Bible. You have to ask questions. How did serpent talk, man? And which tree brings good and evil? So, if he says we are seated with Christ in heaven, we need to find out. How? Why? When? Where? Where? Those are valid questions. Hallelujah. So, we need to ask intelligent questions. Because it is very evident in God's word that Jesus says is with us. I'm not believe that. Come on. Come in your hands. You believe Jesus is here right now. You know he said in his word, Mark 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. You believe that? Right here and right now. Right here and right now. So we can have healings right here and right now. For the power of God is here. We can have it right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Because Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here doing what only him can do. He's there. He's here. So, if he's here and he indwells us by his spirit, right? Come on. He indwells us by his spirit. He said, in that day you will know that I am in you. John 14:20. I am in you. He shall give you the comforter whom the world cannot receive because it does not know him, does not see him. But you know him. For he is with you and shall be where? And shall be where? In you. So if he's in me, then how come I'm seeing him on one throne? It's not adding up. So we are going to find out, like proper Christians should do, what is God's right hand? It's not like he has a left hand. Because he never heard of, someone is sitting on God's left hand. He said, ah, that must be Nigerian politicians. Nah, what is his right hand? So we need to find out. Because there's a deception that he left. He did not leave. He never said goodbye. He never said goodbye. What he said is, I am with you always. Matthew 28. You learn something? It's a long journey. But this weekend, I see as I ought to see. And I hear as I ought to hear. Oh, I'll live better than I came in. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Matthew 28, in verse 18, Jesus came and said unto them, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. We'll look at heaven and earth tomorrow morning. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Can we read verse 20 together? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even. We'll look at the end of the world too. Amen. Say, so I am with you always. And he's not whining. You know, there are some people that say, I'm with you. I remember last season, Premier League, if you watch football, some people are deceiving themselves. You know, Chelsea fans. I don't know how you can open your eyes and support Chelsea. You are not a Christian. And they bought the entire world. They bought, if you roam on the street anyhow, they'll buy you. And they stand at the end of 12th. 12 out of 20. Foolish people. If there's something I cannot walk in love with, it's Chelsea. By now, you should know. If it will take me to God's left hand, let it be. Chelsea. And so, one of them just came to me and said, ah, I said, Pastor. I said, what? He said, I want you to win. I'm with you. I know it's not get his heart. That's Nigeria, I'm with you. You know, Nigeria is where you say, I'm coming. And he's traveling. You know, imagine who is traveling, he's telling you, I'm coming now. No, you are going. That's not Jesus's, I am with you always. When he said, I am with you, he meant what he said. I told you, God says what he means, and he means what he says. God says what he means, and he means what he says. So he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He kept saying it. He told Joshua the same thing. In Joshua 1:5, Joshua 1:7, Joshua 1:9. I am with you. I am with you. He said it through the mouth of his prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 7:14, he said, see, a child will be born. A son will be given. Of course, was Isaiah talking about Jesus? Not necessarily, not directly. Let me just give you that one. Isaiah did not have anything about Jesus in mind. In fact, he had probably more about Samson and Gideon in mind than he had Jesus. Amen. Now, if you are not going to come tomorrow, don't write it down. So I don't quote me out of context. It has always happened that when there's chaos and invasion in Jerusalem or Israel, there will be someone that God will use. Is it making sense? It was Samson, it was Gideon, it was Deborah. If you look at the judges, you will see them, Barak, Samuel. So, you call those people Emmanuel. So Emmanuel is not Jesus himself. It's almost like an office. Is it making sense? It's almost like an office where, an office of a savior. Someone who will stand by you and be with you through it all. Is it making sense? Alright. So, don't, and that's one of the issues we have when reading the Old Testament. What we call the Old Testament. I've told you, there's nobody that calls it Old Testament in the Bible. People just call it the Word of God. Nobody called Genesis to Malachi Old Testament. They call it the law of the Lord. They call it the word of God. They call it the message of the prophet. But one of the issues we have reading it is that we think that everything there is prophecy. They know what they are saying. So they were just saying about Jesus. No, no, no. They were commenting about what was happening around them. Now what happens is that, which we are going to look very, very much more in the morning, we have more time. What happens is that the New Testament writers can now pick on those phrases and use it to explain what is happening now. Is it making sense? So, as Jesus would come, when Israel needed a Messiah, an anointed king, right, in chaos, in darkness, he would now fit into the Emmanuel. And that's why you see the writer of Hebrews talk about Gideon and Barak, is it making sense? And Jephthah, people who rose up in times of trouble to save their people. That's exactly what Jesus filled, is an Emmanuel. Alright? What are we taking out of this? Emmanuel, God is with us. Say he's with us. Yes. Right? Yeah? You believe it?
Yes,
you believe it?
Yes,
you believe it?
Yes,
you know, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So that means sons of God have got God's Spirit. I have God's Spirit.
I have God's Spirit.
Those are the backgrounds. Hey, yeah.
I have God's
okay. Oh, I didn't know you do. So if we have got God's Spirit, is with us, then how are we on the right hand? Valid questions. Amen. Come on, amen.
Amen.
One of the thoughts we have is that one day Jesus will come in the cloud. Which are going to explain everything. He will come in the cloud, he will ride on us, white us. And then he will just blow trumpet. Boo! And everybody will now disappear. Bah! Pilot. Plane will crash. But he said nobody will die until they get the mark. But plane will crash. Okay. I'm just saying. Plane will crash, but nobody will die. Because they cannot die until they get the mark. Which one? Choose one. So everything happened. We'll now go with him. Where is he coming from? If he says he's with us, one has to be a lie. If he says he's dwelling with us, he's walking with us, which we are seeing, amen? When you heal the sick, that's Jesus. That's not you. That's not you. That's God's Spirit working in you. Paul says, we are vessels. He said that the excess of glory may not be of us, but of him. He said, he has put this treasure in earthen vessels. When we preach the gospel and people get saved, that's him. Amen. That's him on the streets. Walking through his church. Walking through his church. So, where is he coming from? We need to look at it. Every camp meeting, we take time to investigate and educate ourselves with God's word alone. We are going to look at the Bible so much, you'll be dreaming about Bible verses. God's right hand. Where is he today? Where are we going to be with him? So we need to do proper studies, amen. And we have to go through Jesus' method. You know, in Luke 24, yes, he's not saying, hey, Pastor, don't go all those kind of subjects. Let's just leave it. I've left it for many years now, yeah? When I didn't let there be light, it was set up to get to a place. You can't run. You have to answer some questions. You have to do it the way Jesus did. But nobody will know now. Nobody knows all these things. There are some things that God does not want us to know. We can't know it. Because God is vigilant, he knew vigilant. Kabies means we should not just ask. God should be doing things. We should be saying, okay, I agree. Sir, yes, I agree. If that's the way it is, then there will be no sinners. God left man with a will, with desires to choose. or not to choose. To ask him questions. Amen? We actually can ask questions. In fact, God wants you to know. And he wants you to know everything. Luke 24. In verse 25, this is when Jesus rose from the dead. So some of his disciples were, they were talking. And they were saying, me, I've left my job. I just resigned yesterday. Me, it's this morning. This man that is feeding us with bread and fish, that we say we should just be following every day. Every day we are bringing bread and fish home. As I've resigned, say, hey, Omo, what next? I am like, I'm on LinkedIn. I want to apply. Then Jesus was walking behind them. And said, why are you guys sad? He said, see, leave us. Are you a learner? Are you coming to Jerusalem? Can't you hear of Jesus Christ? A prophet. Mighty in word and deed. They took him. They killed him. And just said, so what will now happen? He said, nothing will happen now. You know, he had taught them that he was going to rise from the dead. They did not remember. As a pastor, don't disturb yourself too much. You will teach people things that they will not remember. Amen. Amen. You don't know. You don't have disciples. There was one disciple I taught a long time ago. I talked about the power of God and everything. Next day I saw him with incantation. He said, I'm mixing the two. God, that's fair. May fair. Amen. He said, I'm mixing the two. God's power. Epagelion. He was a son of an abalist. Amen. He said, I kept it for days like this. I said, I don't keep it. So he said, what's happening? They said, we thought that he's the one that will rescue Israel. You're right. Not just Israel. He's the savior of the world. So we thought he's the one that will rescue Israel. But they have taken him. They have killed him. Just said, so what is next? So nothing is next. Now they've killed him. That's the end. But death is not the end. He rose again. Amen. He rose again. Amen. He rose again. Alive forevermore. Then he said to them, all fools, verse 25. If a pastor calls someone fools today, now they will say, that pastor is just talks anyhow. I don't even understand him. Jesus, your Lord and Savior. I said, you're not saved. Your Lord and Savior. Just calls someone fools. He didn't stop there. He said, I'm slow of that. That's all there. And the daring. In case you need Greek word. All fools and slow of heart to believe what the prophets have spoken. Can we read verse 26 and 27 together? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his beginning at Moses and all the prophets? He expounded to them the things concerning the word expounded there means to expatiate, to explain. Beginning at Moses, he expounded to them. It means to interpret. To interpret. Beginning at Moses. He said to teach. See, this is what the scripture says. This is what the prophet said. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all of the scriptures. The things concerning himself. So that is the route we must take in this camp meeting. Are you with me? It means that whatever Jesus did, he really studied. How do you know that he did study? Look at verse 28. And they drew near to the village where they were going to. And he did as though he wanted to go further. But they constrained him saying, stay here with us. It's already evening. The day is far spent. And he went and he tarried with them. Now, observe. He met them almost in the morning. About 11 a.m. because he said some people already had, some people went to sepulchre and did not see him. Right? That's what they told him. He said some people went to sepulchre, did not see him this morning, you know. But by the time he was done teaching them, it was already, but some people cannot stay in church for more than 2 hours. Just, that teaching is too long now. Let us sing small. Bele, Sonny Ade, you cannot stay for teaching, but you watch match. You watch the pre-match. You watch the match. First half, second half, extra time. You now watch the analysis. You watch Jagun Jagun. You watch Jaye Jaye. You watch every Jah. You watch King of Boys. King of Girls. King of Gay. You watch all the kings. But 5 minutes Bible study, you are already dozing. The devil is proud of you. That's not how to be Christian. New Year resolutions, amen? 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 Intentional with study, amen? Alright. So, Jesus studied with them. And verse 30, it came to pass, when they sat to eat, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke, and he gave them. And their eyes were open. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, did our hearts not burn within us, while he talked to us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now listen very well. The word open there is the word dianoigo. D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O. D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O. Now, a lot of people have said, why do people use Greek words and all of that? What should they use? Igbo word. No, now. The Bible, the people who wrote the book, they wrote it in Greek. In fact, there was no English language. Paul did not speak English. Jesus did not speak English. Hope that's clear. In fact, English language did not exist. How about that? Aha. So, they wrote it in Greek, of course, the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, they wrote it in Hebrew and Aramaic. So, if I want to understand some words, I need to go back to that language. But what you were telling me about one some days ago, there was one word looking at. One word. You forgot it. Don't worry. Yeah. And I was sorry. For example, you know, Yorubas have a word, this Babatunde, you know? Who is Babatunde? Any Babatunde, yeah? Listen, let me see hands. Okay. God is proud of you. Okay. And Babatunde means they give it to a child when maybe the grandparent just passed on. And then the child was born, maybe some months later. Then I say, our Baba has come back again. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. So Baba has come back again. But you know, some cultures don't have that belief. So if I'm going to interpret that, I have to go back. I have to find the closest thing in that culture I'm teaching. For example, the English culture or the British culture, they don't have that superstition. I don't know if it's superstition, I don't know if it's a myth or whatever we call it. They don't have it in their own tradition. So if you tell an Englishman about something, you have to find something in the close, very close tandem in English language to explain that concept. Is it making sense? So you have to go back to the originals. That is how much language can affect study. The reason why you are sitting here and you are listening to me and you are writing is because you understand what I'm saying. The moment we take away language, the truth will be lost. And so, sometimes we need to go back to the Greek and the Hebrew. But that's not for today. Alright? Dianogio, that's the word opened. Because we want to look at, what opened? Did he open the scriptures or he opened their mind? He actually opened their mind. Dianogio, it means to open, to set something loose. You see it in Luke 2:23. As is written in the law, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. To set loose. You see it in Luke 24:45. This one is very important. But maybe we'll come back to it. Look at Acts 16:14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, we worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And that she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. Whose heart? The Lord opened. The Lord opened. Now look at Luke 24:45. Luke 24:45. Are you learning something? Alright. Then he opened ye their understanding. Then opened ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So can we say that the opening of Luke 24:32 is not explanation, it's not just recitation, but explanation, right? Didn't our heart burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures? No, he opened our hearts to the scriptures. You see why we are saying that. So, the response to a slow heart is knowledge. The response to unbelief is knowledge. Jesus saw that these guys, they don't even understand the resurrection. They don't even understand why he came. Then he started teaching. A lot of people think that there are things that God does not want to reveal to us. That God just hides some things. Yeah, our own is just to be praising him. No, what's that? What's that nonsense now? Our own is just to be praising him. If you don't have the right knowledge, you will misplace. No, it's a misplace. You will praise God in a way that God himself is looking at you. Even demons are looking at you and say, stop now. They play. Hallelujah. That's why he has led to a lot of things. That's led to a lot of things. Sometimes we have merged Africanism with Christian worship just because we are not using knowledge. We don't want to ask questions. We don't want to do anything. Let's just go. Bring out your offering. Speak to your offering. That's an ancient Yoruba practice. So it is not in the Bible. I don't know what you people used to say. All the problems should go to the pastor. Every problem in my life. He may just be like this. It's with small tongues. Yeah, thank God I don't count offering. It's people that count offering. You don't count many things. We bring Africanism. All over, but now I have nothing with that, because the one who sang the song is talking about God's outstretched arm and all of that, which is, but it's an old Orumila chant, oh, amen. If Obatala hears, he say, Elohim. Hallelujah. God wants us to know. Tell someone that God wants us to know. Or you don't believe it. That's the best. You don't believe it. What do you say? God wants us to know. How can we say we don't know where God is? We say, God is somewhere in the sky. Like, remember Babel, the Tower of Babel. They were building it to get to God. Then God said, these people, they want to see me. They want to see my bedroom. Then God scattered it because they will see it. Calm down. Is it that you're not intelligent? Or you're intelligent and you're not thinking? Because how does someone build something from the earth? You know, by the time they get to the crust of the earth, they will now break to the atmosphere. It remains the brick you are going to use in the atmosphere. Amen. Abi, they've landed on the moon. They did not see God. Hallelujah. Did they, Abi? China just did India just did their own 3 days ago, 4 days ago. Landed on the moon. In fact, in the part, northern part of the moon, where nobody has ever landed. Good for them. Nigeria, God knows which year we are going to land our own. We know they land on anything. They just give it. They just transfer to me. And they say, you won't land on the moon, don't transfer. You know, and you don't see God there on the moon. So that means in the space, that's not where he is. That's not where he is. So if you like build a tower that will reach the highest building in the world, did not even reach the cloud. And if you have flown in a plane before, you will get to altitudes that are even above the cloud. Amen. Thank you. Get us that are above the cloud. So where is God? So don't let us ask. Let us just be praising him. Why are you just concerned about praying? You are praising a God you don't know. Maybe you are even praising the devil that you don't even know yet. God wants us to know him. That's why he gave us the Spirit. He said, there are many things I cannot tell you now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will let you know all these things. Meaning that every day I ought to know more. Every day I ought to get better. Every day I ought to keep improving. In what I know about the Lord and Savior, he wants us to know. Tell someone that he wants us to know. So God does not hide things. Mm-mm. He reveals it to us. Well, as we look at the right hand in the coming days, it's going to be some sessions. I'm telling you, God's right hand. We call it in bracket heaven in earthly places. Because we will now start to see that God's right hand was in Egypt. God's right hand was with Daniel. He said it. David said, your right hand brought me from the cave. How? His right hand is in heaven. How did he come to Israel? Hallelujah. God's right hand. God wants us to know where it is. And he wants us to walk in the realities of it. You know, this camp meeting, our eyes are open. Turn with me as I close. Look at Matthew 11. You learning something?
Yes, sir.
Close tomorrow. Very early in the morning. We'll start to know things. We'll start to change levels. We'll start to have experiences. You know, in this camp meeting, I'm not here to just admire what God can do. I want it. I'm not enough of just admiring. So this is how God can heal the sick. See how this prophet talks. I want it. The reality of the Spirit of God. The tangible power of the Holy Ghost. That can change a man's life. I want it. I believe and I receive. That the power of God is at work. Is at work. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 11. So we said God wants us to know. Enough of hiding behind ignorance. What's that? I have a feeling. Really? He said even demons know. That means you are worse than demon. A demon told, he told the disciples, was clever. He said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. You have a feeling. He said, demons know and they tremble. Demons believe. They believe in him. And they tremble. I have a feeling. You see, I just don't want to have anything to do with God and the devil. I just want to be praying and God be answering my prayer and I should be eating and I should be... You're not a serious Christian. Life is more than bread. It's more than bread. When you know God, it changes everything. It changes everything. It changes the way you pray. It changes how you preach or why you preach. I've told you before, we must want what God wants. For the same reason he wants it. So there are people who want, they want a church all filled. Not because of Jesus, not because of, but just, offering. Offering plenty. He wants what God wants for the same reasons he wants it. Matthew 11. You there now? Come on, that yes has gone down. You there now?
Yes,
alright, at least wait for tomorrow before it goes down. Matthew 25. At that time Jesus said, I thank you Father, O Lord of heaven and earth. Because you have eaten these things. Now, you see, God just eats something now. God eats it. You have eaten these things from the wise and prudent. And you have revealed it to babes. What's happening? Is he revealing or is he hiding? Now, calm down. Even so, it seems good in your sight. Now, the word good in your sight means that's what is appropriate. It's not like God hides, no. What hides things? We'll see. All things are delivered unto me, verse 27, by my Father, and no man knows the Son, but the Father. Neither any man knows the Father, but the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him. Meaning that Jesus reveals to us the Father. Then they come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But observe, he said, you have eaten these things from the wise and prudent. You have revealed it unto babes. Now, the word babes there is not your girlfriend, it's a babes. No. Babes there is to the people who are simple, to the childlike. Some versions have, you have revealed it to childlike people. Meaning that if you want to know God, you must put your wisdom aside. What hides from the wise and prudent is their own wisdom. Sarcasm. He calls them wise, even though they are not wise. So, in fact, you have eaten these things from the wise. Only babies will see it. Only people who have a simple heart. And that's what I want us to have in camp meeting. Then he said, come to me, all you that labor, and are heavy laden. I'll give you, I've seen people use this for, that God can bless your business. See, I have no issues. God bless me business. Amen. Yeah, I want God to bless my own business. How about you? Oh, you don't want, okay, that's fine. You want it? Yeah, I want it. You give you rest. See, calm down. But that's not talking about your business or your shop. Especially if you just must start. He says, you will give me rest. Rest now that the people, customers will be coming. Are you getting people saved or are you getting people damned? Untagbo. Stop. Come on. Hallelujah. I'll give you rest. Now, we are going to know what is rest. Is rest will be knowledge. He says, they think they can know the Father without the Son. No! Come to me. When you come to me, I will give you rest. That rest is the knowledge of the Father. He calls the knowledge of the Father rest. Now look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. The word yoke is the word zugos. My servitude. My servitude. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So, or learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, what is the yoke? The yoke is not sickness. Observe, always read in context. Tomorrow morning, we're going to look at how to read the Bible in a simple way. How to read the Bible in a simple way. Who is talking? What is he talking about? There are a lot of misconceptions about, you know, the scriptures. We must know how to read. Exactly. Alright. So, he says, take my yoke upon you. If you have been reading from previous, from the earlier chapters, what happened is that John sent some people to Jesus and said, go and ask, is he the Messiah? Or should you expect another person? Why? John was in prison. Amen. John was Jesus' cousin. He's in prison and Jesus doesn't say anything. He just kept preaching. Some people, if he's this generation, some people say, that's unfair. He does not like family. He does not believe in love. He does not believe in relationship. He just kept preaching. Then Jesus said, this cannot be Christ. Go and ask. Then Jesus said, no, the blind see, the deaf ears are unstopped, the poor ask they have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed is the man that is not offended in me. It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for this generation. For if Tyre and Sidon, if they had seen the miracles that you have seen in Bethsaida, they would have repented with ashes a long time ago. Observe. Then he says, no one knows the Father but through me. Meaning that wait, listen. He's saying that the knowledge of the Father will come through him. Then he calls that my yoke. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As we close, pray for me. Peter uses it in Acts 15. In Acts 15, a conversation happened. They were looking at, should Gentiles be saved? Who are Gentiles? There are two people in the scriptures, Jews and Gentiles. Jews are people who are Israel. Let's just be like that. Even though in that Jewish land, you have Samaritans, you have, and they are all from Jacob. But we have taught that before. We taught that last year, yeah? That's last year, the glory of God. Alright, yeah. You know, Jews and then Gentiles. Gentiles even worse. They don't even give you a chance. Nigeria is Gentile nation. Amen. He said, the Gentiles shall come to the knowledge, to the light of my rising. You are the Gentile. The Gentile will come to my light. You are the Gentile, God. You know, so Jews and Gentiles. So, Peter preached to Cornelius in Acts 10. We are going to see the importance of that Cornelius encounter on Saturday. You know, he preached to Cornelius. Cornelius got saved. He and his household. Then they started fuming. Why will you preach to a Gentile? Jesus came from us. He's for us alone. Then later they agreed. They said, okay, even if they will be saved, they must be circumcised. They must be circumcised now. You know, that was God told our own father, Abraham. He's not your father. We understand that. He's not your father. But he must not eat things with blood. Then Peter says, in verse 8. No, I'll start in verse 7. When there had been much argument, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should receive the word of the gospel and believe. And God that knows the heart bears them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost the way he gave it to us. He put no difference between them and us, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why are we tempting God? To put a yoke. Now, is that yoke sickness? No, it's a doctrine. To put a yoke on the neck of these disciples, which we or our fathers were unable to bear. So, that yoke is a learning. He's saying circumcision and all of those things. Saying, why are we putting it on their neck? They don't have to do all of these things. It's cultural to us. It's traditional to us. But they are Gentiles. Is it making sense? So when he says, my yoke is my learning, my doctrine. Is it making sense? Jesus says, my yoke is easy. Come to me. Come and learn. So we said, God is a revealing God. He does not hide things. He does not hide things. He's not a God that is, you know, is all about, if they know me, finish. No. Which father does not want his child to know him? Let's know. God wants us to see exactly the way he is. God wants us to know. He wants us to know where he is. Do we now know where he is? Of course we do. He's in this meeting. How about that? If nothing, we know he's here. You don't know that? You don't know that? He's here. You know, right now, if you're sick in the body, you actually can get healed. Healing does not need teaching. You just need faith. And you don't need big faith. Just said, even if it's like a mustard seed. No, just try it and know he's here. No, kidneys can be restored to perfect condition by the Holy Ghost. Right now. Right now. So he's here. And God wants us to know. So Paul says that the eyes of understanding be enlightened. He's saying, listen very well, observe. He's saying what you are about to find out, you will need your eyes to be open. It's not a low hanging fruit. He said, you will need to pray. He said, I'm praying for you. That your eyes will be open, that you may know that he has set him at his right hand in heavenly places. He said, he's far above principalities and powers and might, dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I love that part. I love that part. I absolutely love it. And we are going to see him in all of his glory. We'll get better. We'll get better. Our faith strengthened. Our conviction deeper. No, we are not slow of heart. No, we are not slow of heart. If he says he has set him at his right hand, and that we are seated at the right hand, I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it. Is that same thing that Stephen saw? You know, Peter saw it. Everyone who saw it, their lives were never the same again. We need to know as we are known. We need to see as we are seen. We need to see as we are seen. And in the next few days, God wants to work some things in you. You believe it? It's not about shouting. He wants you to see some things. It will change your view. It will change your worship. It will change your devotion. It will transform lives. And we believe God that these days are the days of glory. We believe God that we'll see very clear. We will know clear. We will draw near. Go back to that prayer. Ephesians 1. We'll close there. And tomorrow morning when we start the God's right hand. This is just an introduction. That we must prioritize knowledge. When you are choosing your associations. Look up. Your core circle of friendship. Ensure it's people that cherish God's word. I said something in church some weeks ago. My circle is not that big. I'm choosing with it. I'm very, 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 very selective. Because I know that no one is perfect. So the day that I'm weak, I don't want to be surrounded by weak men. I don't want to be surrounded by people who would talk down God's word. Amen. So I surround myself with people who love God and who want to know Him. Sometimes we don't even believe the same things. Doctrinally. It's all about that. Amen. It's about their desire to always want to know God. That's enough. Their desire to always want to work in God's life. That's enough. Choose your association wisely. Is that clear? Is that clear? Ephesians 1, as we close. We want to pray that prayer again. Because Paul said, whatever he's about to show, if we don't pray, we won't see it. There are some things that don't come except by prayer. Jesus goes, these things, they don't happen except by fasting and prayer. So if you cannot fast and you cannot pray, so put it law. Alright. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit and revelation knowledge of Him, that your eyes of understanding be enlightened. The word enlightened there is fortizo, to be flooded with light. that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Want to pray tonight? Stand, rise to your feet. Jesus, I receive spiritual understanding to see clearly, to know clearly. Nothing in this meeting will pass me by. Everything you have to say, I will hear and I will heed. This meeting, I'm not a mere attendee. It will change my life and help me to get better. Go ahead and pray for yourself. Come on, pray, 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 pray. He says if you don't pray, you don't see. That's what he said. Open my eyes, Jesus. Holy Ghost, do it again. Do it again. In my life, open my eyes to see Jesus seated upon the throne.